House of the Lord, it's good to have each one here. Build to max capacity. Once again, we've got a few things going on today. First, we're celebrating my little son's first birthday, but that's actually Tuesday, so I feel like I need to dedicate him before I get in trouble. Just kidding. It seems like he just kept forgetting about it, wanting to do it. Just things didn't work out right, but I think we're going to go ahead and do that this morning. So my wife's going to bring up my little son, Wes, that I want to dedicate him to the Lord. Go ahead and do that right now. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us, all the blessings you give. We know, Lord, and I know personally that a child is just such a blessing from you. I pray, Lord, that you bless my son. May you teach him, Lord, things that I can't as just a man, but may the Spirit of God, may he always know that there is a God, and that his name is Jesus Christ, and that he sent his son to die for him, Lord, and may at a very young age he know that he needs a Savior, and may he give his heart to you when he has the age of accountability, Lord. And we love you and appreciate you, Lord. We thank you for giving us Wesley. It's been such a blessing even in this 1 year that we've had. And, Lord, we pray for myself and for my wife, Lord, that you'll teach us what to do, to how to raise him, to not think of just a carnal mind, but may the Spirit of God use us as a father and as a mother to raise him in the admonition of the Lord, that, Lord, he might be a mighty servant for you, or that even as Jeremiah was a young man called to be a prophet, Lord, that you would use Wesley, Lord, in a mighty way, Lord, even if he doesn't get very old and he don't tarry very long, but I pray that every day he would serve you, and that he would love you, Lord, and that he would be just that part of the family. We thank you for him, Lord. We put the token upon his life, so that if you would come, he's going to come with us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We ask it all to be so, and we dedicate little Wesley to you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Baptism today, but I think everybody knows that. Brother Jason's going to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ after service this morning, but let's not cross any bridges before we get to him. How many came to hear from God today? I've seen the Lord use Brother Trevor many times, and last night was another one of those. I just stood in awe. Thank you, Lord, that there's still men that ain't afraid to say the truth. Still gifts out there that can still be used of by God. To have most of them done sold to the devil, but there's still a few that haven't, and I'm grateful to be part of that. I'm grateful to be saved by the grace of God, and to be with others that have been saved by the grace of God. I don't want to pull on my time, so let's stand together. I'm going to sing. If you don't know, I think most of y'all will know. Let's just sing Shine On Me. It's in the book somewhere. I can't remember the number. 32 if you don't know it in the little one, but I think you might know it. So let's sing as we invite Lord.
Shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Oh, shine. Yeah.
have. Just the Lord just shine down on us. His word shine down on us. His love, His grace.
Grant it, Lord.
We are so needy of Him.
Amen.
If you'd open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 28. Appreciated the service last night. Felt real
yes,
good.
Sir.
Isaiah chapter 28, verses 5 through 13, we're going to begin with, "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, for a diadem of beauty under the residue of his people." He's a wonderful God.
Amen.
"And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment." See, he has judgment as well. Though. "For strength to them that turn the battle to the gate." He's strength. "But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink. They are out of the way." The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. "For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, except for those precepts that we're not as, you know, happy with. Then we don't have to add those precepts." Wait a minute, I stopped reading. Sorry, I had to turn the page, and I just thought I'd try to... Yeah, that doesn't work, does it? Precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, and there a little, for with stammering lips and with other tongues will I speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest...
Amen.
Wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go, fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what encouragement is in this scripture, and yet we see passion that you have for the truth. We see how strong you are for the truth, Lord.
Yes.
That you want things to be right in our lives. Lord, we want to hear that. We want to line up to that, Lord. Because we know that you're a great God, but you're a holy God.
Yes.
Lord, that because you're holy, you can't stand sin. And you have a righteous wrath that goes along with that, Lord, to eradicate sin. Lord, we don't want it, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just anoint us this morning afresh. As it says in the Psalms, I'm anointed with fresh oil.
Lord,
may it be fresh again this morning. We invite your presence to be amongst us, Lord. Lord, use this little vessel up here to just speak your words to the people,
Lord.
Just take me any way you want to take it and speak what you want to speak, Lord. I just want to submit myself to your service, Lord, and Lord, I pray that the people would just, Lord, reach up to heaven, reach up to you and just ask, Lord, and just pull to receive something that they have need of from you.
Lord,
we're thankful to be in this place, gathered in your name. Thankful that you're with us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know how many remember from the last time I was here, and I know there's some that weren't even here the last time I was here, but I spoke on a topic of worship. And this is kind of part two, but I'll recap just a little bit so that we can bring everybody up to speed. But I spoke on the topic of worship. Recently, I've retitled that sermon, Lucifer's Style of Worship. And what we talked about then was how in the beginning, Lucifer decided he wanted something better than what God had.
Right.
And so he decided, well, I can just have a better plan. I can do this, and I can mold things my way, and it will be better than what God has. And that was his That was his point. That's what he tried to do. He thought he was so beautiful and that he should have worship too. So things haven't changed since that point in time. Lucifer still wants worship.
That's it. Yes, sir.
And that's kind of one of the constants in this universe, if you will, that Lucifer wants worship. He is going to try everything he can to get worship.
Amen.
And he wants worship from you and I.
Sure.
Now, we're commanded to worship the Lord thy God and him only.
Yes, sir.
And that's the other universal constant.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that God wants worship, and he is the only one who's worthy of that worship.
Amen. Yes,
Satan,
Lord,
is an imposter of that worship.
Sure.
And that's where, and that word imposter is very good, because that's where really it gets down to you and I, and it gets down to where the rubber meets the road, because Satan, Lucifer, is such a good imposter.
Amen.
That if we're not careful, we begin to worship him thinking we're worshiping God.
Amen.
And that's a very dangerous thing. And so we're thankful for this message, because this message has come and exposed that to us.
Hallelujah.
And only this message has come and exposed that to us. So last night we spoke on Millennium Without Repentance, and just kind of a simple Christian, you know, we need Jesus.
Amen.
And absolutely that we need Jesus, but Jesus today has come, and we know that Jesus is the Word, and this message is the revealed Word for our day.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And we have to have it, and there's just something in me lately that I can't help but, I just got to talk about the message a little bit.
That's all right, brother.
And so let's see here. Do I have open? I sometimes forget to bring the message book up with me to the platform, and then I can't use that object. But anyway, so we've got it. So this message right here is a very important thing to us.
Sure.
And we absolutely have to have this, because without this, it's going to be very capable that we could end up falling into that worship of that imposter Lucifer and not the worship of God alone. So I just wanted to kind of drop in, like I said, to what we spoke about last time. We spoke about blasphemy and what blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, you know, truly was in this day, and we come to find that it's rejecting this message. That when you reject this message, you reject the revealed word of God for your day. What are you doing? You're doing the same thing that Lucifer did at the beginning.
Right.
Lucifer rejected the word of God for him.
Amen.
He absolutely knew why he was created, what he was created to do, how things should be. It was completely and totally revealed to Lucifer what should happen.
Amen.
And he rejected that.
Yes, sir.
Completely rejected that. Now, do we ever find anywhere in Scripture where there's any grace for Lucifer? None. None whatsoever. He has what? Completely committed an unpardonable sin then, right?
Yes.
Because he absolutely, with full knowledge of the Word of God for him, rejected the Word of God and walked away from it.
Right. Well,
how can there be any mercy? You've walked away from mercy.
That's right.
Okay? So we can't then, in our day, if we truly get a revelation of what this is,
that's it. Preach.
To walk away from this would be to do the same thing that Lucifer did. Now, Lucifer then, and this is kind of what we talked about last time, Lucifer then wants us to just, if he can get us to completely reject this message, he is going to do that.
Sure.
But there may not be people here that would be susceptible to that.
Come on.
Amen?
Come on.
There are those in this building.
Yeah.
No, he can try all he wants. Yes, I am not going to walk away from the message of the hour.
Amen?
Amen? Okay, so what, is he going to just quit?
No,
Lucifer's not going to stop. Okay, I can't get them with that tactic. I'm going to try to get them with another.
Get it, brother.
And so, like I said, as we see that he was an imposter.
Yes, sir.
And last time we picked up 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. We can see that we're in that day.
That's right.
I mean, there's a website with a list of people who can email and say, hey, put me on the list of those that have fallen away. Okay. That's really profitable, I'm sure. But so we see that we're in this day, that there's you know, because of the internet and things, now people can propagate their vitriol and the things that they decide, oh, the message is wrong because of X, Y, and Z. And, you know, because of the internet, now we're all for me to be able to see why they think the message is wrong, and it can throw us into a disarray, and then we can get confused and go, oh, maybe they got a good point there, and I don't understand it. You know, and it's just the devil. What he's trying to bring in confusion.
That's it.
Because he just wants to, anything he can do to throw us off of this, he's going to do that.
Amen.
So we see that we're living in, and except the coming and falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And look at what he does. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he, and this is Lucifer, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so we find Lucifer today just trying to sit there, and what is he trying to do? He is trying to look like God.
Yes.
He's trying to look like the real.
Yes.
So that you can be, you know, dissuaded into worshiping him. See, that's what he wants. He wants the worship.
Amen.
And if he can't just get you to say, no, I don't like this, what is he going to try to do? Deceive you then into worshiping something that looks like this. Or that's there. You know,
sure.
He's going to try to get that worship any way he can. So now he sets himself up to look like the real in many various ways. And so he's sitting there saying, come people, worship me.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Now, so that's the deceitfulness of the church today, Brother Branham says in the message, Satan's Eden. He says, then people worshiping Satan in this day, thinking they're worshiping God.
Amen.
Now, as a preacher, I'm sure you can relate, my brother, that to try to get people to understand, no, you're worshiping the devil. I love Jesus. I'm worshiping God. Now, that's a tall order, and it's very difficult. And I mean, I've, you know, there's even been people I've counseled with, and, you know, and say, look, I want you to consider just for a moment. Maybe you don't have the Holy Ghost. I mean, I normally don't like to do that kind of thing, but look, if your pattern and over and over and over and, oh, but I got the Holy Ghost, how can this happen? Well, maybe, you know. But if they're thinking, oh, I'm this or I'm that, and they've already got this mindset of this is where it is, and we can't humble ourselves enough to consider sometimes, Lord, I want to be right, and I don't want to be doubtful. I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to just sit here and doubt and doubt and doubt and doubt. But not just to suspend that for a moment, but just to say, Lord, okay, is this right? Am I where you, Lord, reveal it to me? Am I where I need to be?
Yeah,
so, you know, people then, they're worshiping Satan, thinking they're worshiping God, but they're worshiping him through a creed, man-made denominations and creeds that's brought people right to the greatest deception the world has ever known of. And so, here in the days of Jesus then, Jesus is standing there. And we read this through all throughout the Gospels. And my wife and I were reading through Luke, I think 6, 7, and 8, that's somewhere in there, the other day. And I said, do you notice Jesus didn't do anything unless it was on the Sabbath day? I mean, I'm sure he did. But if you look in, I mean, the three chapters we looked in the book. And the next Sabbath day, everybody was standing around, and Jesus looked at the scribes and Pharisees and said, you know, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? You know, and then the next Sabbath day, hey, did you, you know, because what it's doing is what we're seeing is he's building the case of why these rabbis did not like Jesus, and it's because they had this doctrine of how the Sabbath day they thought should be done,
right.
And Jesus comes along challenging that. Now the doctrine was, you know, it was like, look, you don't work on the Sabbath day because Jesus is the rest.
Amen.
And so the rest is standing there in front of them, but they're sitting there going, you can't do that. And he's saying, I am that.
Yeah.
So what Luke and these Gospels are building for us is they're building this tension that's going on. And what are they trying, what can we get from that? Well, Brother Branham in the message, Satan's Eden, says, now Satan, this is a tough thing. We've got to think about this. Satan was in that bunch of Jewish teachers and rabbis and priests.
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh, wow. Okay, so if we update that to today.
Sure. Preach, brother. Hit it. Come on now.
The Baptist preachers that want to reject this message? The Methodist preachers that want to reject this message? The Pentecostal preachers that want to reject this message? The so-called message preachers that want to reject this message or downplay it or, you know, make it a little less messagey than it ought to be.
You know,
the other day we had a little Bible study, I guess you'd call it, maybe at our home one day. We, the our service at the tabernacle was canceled, so I was trying to prep this sermon I was going to preach in Florida, and so I said, you know what, it's not that bad, but they decided to cancel church just so everybody be safe, but if you want to come over, I kind of have this sermon I've been working on, I want to maybe give it a dry run, you know, so we were talking about it, and it just kind of came up, you know, it's just like, you know, how Brother Branham says, you know, oh yeah, Miss Dog Meat,
sure.
You know, and so, and what's most of our reaction, we're like, snake on the hunk meat thing, you know, it's a little harsh, you know, can we calm it down just a little bit, make it a little more palatable for people, and okay, and maybe there's some wisdom in that, but at the same time, look, if the prophet said it,
sure.
Look, we don't want to just, this is sin. What is he doing?
Yeah.
He's calling sin, sin.
Right.
And that's what Jesus did, you know, snakes,
yep.
And vipers, and,
right.
You know.
Sure did.
You're the one that put them, you know, you're the one that put the people in the graves, and now you're trying to, you know, garnish their tombs. But you're kind of people that did that.
Yeah,
so we don't need to take our message and try to water it down and make it a little more palatable and things like that. No, the word of God is effectual.
Amen.
It does the thing whereto it's sent.
Praise
so
God.
We don't want to do that. So, but anyway, so Satan was in a bunch of Jewish teachers, rabbis, and priests trying to tell them, keep the law of Moses. When the very word said that in that day,
yep.
The Son of Man would be revealed.
Come on. Yes.
See, what he would reveal himself. So as long as they kept them religious and on the law of Moses, see what he did? Trying to tell them that part of the word is exactly right, but this man isn't that person.
That's it.
See how deceiving he is?
That's it.
That's the real day of deception.
Right.
So Satan in that day was in these people telling them, keep the law of Moses. It's the Sabbath day. Don't even pick up a rug.
Right.
Make sure you do what God says. Do as God said through Moses.
Preach.
You've got to keep the law, people. And this is Lucifer himself,
yes.
Telling people to do that.
Right.
Why? Why would Lucifer tell you, oh, look, this is the word of God. Make sure you keep it. Why? Because of deception. Because
yes,
if he can keep you on part of the word,
yep.
But not all of the word. Look, if you reject part of Christ, how much of Christ have you rejected? All of it.
Yes.
That's right.
You can't just say, I like this part of Jesus, but not this part.
Right.
You know, I walk into the room, and you say, I like Brother Trevor in this and this and this, but I don't like this and this and this. Well, I'm in the room. You know.
Yeah.
You're either going to say, get out or stay.
Right.
One of the two. And so we can't reject part of Jesus without rejecting all of Jesus.
That's right, brother.
And if we accept him, we have to accept him in his entirety.
Amen.
So what Lucifer, though, is trying to do is say, look, I want people to realize they can be very, very close and they can accept 99% of Jesus. As long as I can get them to reject 1% or just a little bit, then I've got them. Then they're worshiping me, thinking they're worshiping him.
Right.
And behold, the greatest deception ever, because
yes.
They didn't reject anything. They pride themselves in how wonderful and good they are.
Uh-huh.
So let's go. They're never going to stop and think, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am worshiping Lucifer. And so this is a great deception that's in our day, and we need to be, you know, very careful of it. And so in today's language, they say, oh, keep the law, keep, you know, Jesus died for you.
Yep,
sure.
He went on a cross for you. You need to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. Oh, but, you know, the days of prophets are over. You know, Hebrews 1:1, God who in sundry times and diverse manners spake in these, you know, in the past times by the prophet, as in these days spoke through his son Jesus and stopped speaking.
Oh.
Wait a minute, that's not, that the last two words there actually isn't in that scripture, but that's what they try to say with that scripture,
right.
Is that he's spoken in the last days by his son Jesus Christ, and he doesn't speak through prophets anymore.
Oh,
even though Paul, even though, you know, and Paul had an angel come to him, even though they say, oh, angels stopped coming after Jesus, except for Paul said, you know, I had an angel of God stand by me this night and said we would be fine, so stay in the ship. So we still have these things going on, even though they'd like to try and say, no, this man isn't that person. This man isn't that person.
Right.
Or you know what? Sure, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, right, but this man isn't that person. Oh, Revelation 10, 7, we have no idea what that means, but this man isn't that person.
That's right. Preach.
And that's what they want to tell us.
Every time.
And it's Satan in the... Oh, but believe on Jesus Christ. I mean, you don't need... You just believe in Jesus. He's our Savior anyway. You don't need
this other stuff. Okay, well,
brother,
we'll talk about that. So let's hear. Maybe then I can kind of get off of the last Sunday and we can move on to today. So, all right, so we'll do that.
So, with that background then, that Lucifer is still trying to throw us off.
Sure.
He's still trying to get us any way he can to worship him through deception,
right, sir.
Through whatever means he can to get us off of the truth of this hour, of this day.
Amen. Right.
Because that's very important, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Because what if I came to you and I got up here and said, you know, okay, people, the Lord has given me a message. And I get this message from the Word of God. And I want you to know, people, that it's going to rain. Yes, God said it's going to rain. And I believe it'll rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And the world over is going to be covered in water. And now there's a boat that this man's going to build, and you need to get on the boat.
Come on, brother, preach.
Amen.
Amen.
How many want to get on the boat? I'm not speaking spiritually,
right,
figuratively
on,
here.
Right.
I'm speaking literally.
Now, I'm reading this out of the book of Genesis today, brothers and sisters.
Yes,
I need some amens. Come on, hallelujah.
God said it's going to rain. Amen.
Hallelujah. God said it's going to rain. Nobody's getting excited about it, but I want you to know that God's judgment is coming and it's going to rain. It says so right here. There's going to be a boat that we're going to need to get on. Are you all ready to get on the boat?
Yeah, brother. Preach.
You all are looking at me like, you're crazy. That happened.
That's it. Preach.
That was already fulfilled.
Come on now.
That was a message for another day.
Yes.
So then if I came to you and said, oh, brothers and sisters, we got to get out of Egypt.
Yep.
Look, we've got to go. It's time for us to shake off our, you know, these shackles of slavery, and we're going to march out of here and victory, and we're going to take all the, you know, all the stuff we want from our Egyptian neighbors, and we're going to get out of here, praise the Lord. Amen, church. Come on, somebody say amen.
Come on, brother.
And I could preach to you like that for a half an hour, and by the end of the service, you're sitting there going, I am no closer to Jesus Christ. It hasn't done me any good to hear that. But yet I've preached to you exactly what the Bible says. Haven't I? Okay, so let's just keep working through the Bible then and keep, you know, coming closer and closer and closer to today. Now, and we could, you know, this might start to stumble you a little bit, but, you know, so what if I came as John the Baptist then and started telling people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Preach.
Better,
brother.
Now, I believe people need to repent, and I believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. But if I stopped there, where are you at? If all I did was say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Preach.
And you go, okay, what was I supposed to repent of? What is the kingdom of God?
Mm-hmm. Preach, brother.
No, just repent, people. Just repent. Amen. Everybody repent. And I could talk to you, and we talked about repentance last night. But I hope I told you what the kingdom of God was too. But I could just stop there at repentance and just say, people, you're all sinners, repent, okay? Repent and believe. Well, and that's wonderful. And we should do that. And that's preaching out of the scriptures.
Come on, brother.
But if I stop there,
right,
what's that going to do for you?
Yeah, brother.
Well, that's...
Yeah,
I mean, this is the New Testament you're in now. I mean, we need to repent. We need to believe. Amen. And I can come and I can preach a Baptist message to you every single time I come here.
Right.
And you're going to go, why is this evening?
That's it.
Yes, sir.
Brother Andrew, why do you have this guy? It's like he's from 200 years ago.
Come on,
right?
Brother. Preach.
Right? But I'm preaching to you the Word of God.
Yes.
Maybe you should just get off your high horses. All you stuck-up people think you're better than everybody else?
Come on, brother.
Right?
That's exactly right. Yep. That's the truth right there. Come on.
So we see already, you guys are sitting here, these guys are crazy, but you know, already we can see, look,
the message for another day is great. That's good. But if it's not for our day,
that's it.
If it's not the one that applies to me today, right now, then what good is it? You can talk about great things, the Word of God all day, and I can tell you it's going to rain. The Scripture declares that. Yes, but that was not for me today. Is there principles I can draw from that? Sure, there's principles I can draw from that. Spiritually, we need to be, where to go? We need to be in an ark. So there's some things that we can draw from that, but to just preach those things, it's not enough, is it?
That's right.
You see, God gives us what we need of in each age.
Amen.
And to reject what he has given us in our age is to reject part of Jesus, isn't it? Even though you could accept everything else.
Sure.
Right? So we have to then prioritize what's given in our day. Amen? So not that we downplay any of the past.
Come on. Sure.
But we understand that God gives to each age what each age has need of.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And we understand that we are in that last age, sure. So there's not going to be anything else.
That's it.
So we've been given what we have need of.
Sure.
Amen?
Amen.
So we need to understand then that this message for our day is the thing that we just hold on to.
Amen.
That's the thing that means so much to us.
Amen.
And if then it means so much to us, and we're not going to reject that, and we realize that we can have all the rest of Scripture, but without this, we're still missing something.
Sure. Amen.
Then this is what we want to keep pure.
Right.
Amen.
Right?
I mean, this is
this
is life to us.
Yeah, man, that's it.
Just as in Noah's day, Noah was life to those people.
Sure.
If they rejected him and his message,
yes.
Nobody was that good at swimming.
That's right. No.
Right? And then the same principle applies.
That's
now,
it.
If you took part of Noah's message back in his day and you went, you know what? I believe that it truly is going to rain.
Bet, brother. Come on.
But you know what? I think Noah's just a little bit fanatical about all the animals and everything, or about whatever you wanted to say he was fanatical about. And you know what? It's maybe not going to be quite as bad. So just every man have his own little boat. And if you have your own little boat, you're going to be fine.
Mm.
You don't need to join up with this crazy guy who's maybe taking things a little far.
Did it, brother.
Sure.
Exactly.
Right. Come on.
What have you just done?
That's it.
Yeah.
You've just taken the pure message for that day, and you've mixed a little of your own idea.
Right.
That's it.
You've mixed something with it. And that's what I want to talk about today, is mixing. Now that I should probably already close.
Oh, come on, brother. Three.
So,
good.
Don't worry, part of this was a young people's message, so I'll maybe glaze over some of the real young people-y stuff, since there's not a ton of teenagers. We'll preach to you for a while. Oh, amen. All right. All right. But you're married, I'm assuming. So I'm preaching on dating for you guys. But we'll hit it. We'll talk about it. Because we don't want to mix anything. And if there's a part that we could be susceptible to mixing, and if it's going to cause death, then yes, we want to. Yeah, we can't do that. So, so I just want to talk a minute on probably a few minutes, on Balak and Balaam.
Amen.
If you turn to Revelations chapter 2, verse 14, and this is a story that, you know, without the message, I just don't see how we would understand the story quite right. There's things in there, but Brother Branham connects the pieces together for us. So, Revelations 2, verse 14, and it says, I'm having a good time this afternoon. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication.
Yes, sir.
So we want to look at what then is the doctrine of Balaam. This is something that God had against them. God had this against them, and we don't want God to have it against us.
No,
Right? So we don't want to have the doctrine of Balaam. Now in Numbers 31:16, we kind of see the end result of what was going on there. And it says, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." So this counsel of Balaam then in Numbers is what's referred to as doctrine of Balaam then in Revelations.
Right.
So we have the counsel of Balaam back there in the Old Testament. This is what Balaam said, and they counseled them to do it. And then in our day, in the New Testament area and in the church ages, it's now called the doctrine of Balaam.
Amen.
Because it's taking the same kind of principle that Balaam tried to do, and it's bringing it into that day. And what it is it's a mixing of the peoples together. It's a mixing of the understanding together. It's a mixing of church and state together. It's a mixing of all these things together. Hey, go, okay, have the pure, that's fine. Just have a little bit of other stuff too. And that's what the doctrine of Balaam is. So,
absolutely.
But if we look at Numbers chapter 24, chapter 25, and I'll just kind of, you know, tell the story. We find that Balak was the king of the Moabites, and he knew that the Israelites were going to be coming through his land. Now, the Israelites were already told not to attack the Moabites.
Right.
They were not to destroy the Moabite land.
That's right.
Why? No. Because they were children of Lot.
Yes.
They had been given this, and the children of Esau, they'd been given the Edom, Mount Seir.
Yep,
they'd been given these things, and so they had their own possession God had given them, so they were not to attack the children of Moab. So Moses and the children of Israel come up and they say, "Hey, we just want to pass through the land. We'll pay you for anything that we take.
Sure.
We'll stay on the highway, and we're just going to go through. We're not going to push you out or mess with your people or anything like that." And they so Balak though was very scared of this. He didn't want this to happen. He wouldn't let them go through. They had to go around, but he was very afraid of this people. And so he goes to a man by the name of Balaam, who was a Midianite, who had a reputation of being a prophet, and he says, "Come, curse this people for me.
Sure.
Curse this people for me, because they're coming and I want them to be cursed." And so what the idolaters in those days would do is, you know, they would make a sacrifice to another god, hoping, you know, if you go and attack a city and they worship God A. Well, so if you go to attack this city, well, if you can get God A to favor you more than the people that actually follow him,
right,
and you make a nice big sacrifice to him, and then God A gets on your side, then you've got him.
Right.
So that's kind of what's going on, is that kind of mentality. Now, so Balak wants, let's have a sacrifice and let's ask God to curse this people.
Sure.
Now, obviously, we know God's not going to curse his own children.
Right.
And we know the story. Balaam says, "Okay, well, let me pray about it." And he prays about it, and God says no. And he tells him, and they said, "Well, yeah, but did we mention that we were going to give you money?"
Right.
And he said, "Oh, that changes things. Let me pray again." And he says, No, God says no. And they said, "Did you realize we were going to give you money and status?"
Uh-huh.
And he says, "Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, so I'm going to go pray again, because somehow that's going to change God's mind." No, it's not. So we see the story then that he ends up going, and his donkey talks to him, and we know what happens, you know, and that God tells him, "You must say only what I have to say." And so Balaam goes and he builds 7 altars, and he has a ram and a bullock on each altar, and he's testifying of Christ. And he's, you know, the testifying of a coming Messiah.
Right.
And he's doing everything fundamentally correct.
Right.
And Brother Branham even tells us that the Moabites weren't heathens.
That's right, nope.
They fundamentally were the same. They had the same altars.
Right.
Amen.
But yet there was something wrong.
Amen.
And so they were going through the motions trying to gain God's favor, and then Balaam would speak and he would bless the children of Israel. And they did it 3 different times, and bless the children of Israel, bless the children of Israel. And Balaam got very angry. And so then we see in Numbers chapter 25. And after this, okay, chapter 24, verse 25, Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. And this is the end of that story. It's like, you know, like, I blessed them 3 times, Balak is mad, and they go their separate ways. Then it's over. And so, let me just read a few quotes here. Here come Moab, which was the same religion exactly that was Lot's daughter's child. He said, now Moab by no means were heathens. They were believers in Jehovah. They had a prophet. And so they had the same sacrifice, a bullock and a bullock, a prophet and a prophet, two nations and a contrast. He says, a very perfect example of the day that we're living.
Amen.
Oh, if I had time to go into it. Yes, amen. Go into it. Now also, Balaam required a ram on each altar that was speaking of faith in a coming Messiah. The same sacrifice they had down in Israel, and fundamentally they were both right. Fundamentally in doctrine.
Amen.
And that's why I said we can bring it all the way up to today, and we can all believe that Jesus died for us and that he died on a cross, and that we must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And we can believe all these things and fundamentally have correct doctrine. But one prophet down in Israel's camp had the characteristics of God and the word of God, and he stayed with the promise of God for that age.
Amen.
Because he was in line going to a promised land.
Amen.
The millennium that we talked about last night. We're going there. The only way we're going there is through repentance and following that promise for our day. So, how many Christians, you know, aren't even looking for a promised land today? You know, we can get you know, upset at Balak and Balaam, and, you know, because Balak, he believed in Jehovah. He had a prophet of Jehovah. But we know the people of Moab also worship Chemosh.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they had fundamentally had correct doctrine, but
exactly.
Right?
Sure.
Right? So we can go, oh, that's crazy. You can't worship Jehovah and Chemosh. I mean, that's just silly. Why would anybody even think that you could worship Jehovah and another God? And that's just, I mean, why, really? You can go and pray at the altar of Jehovah, and then you can go and pray at the altar of some other. That is craziness. And all of us think, you look at Balak and you go, that's just, was he an imbecile? I mean, that's just dumb.
Come on, brother.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. But we do it. You know, Jesus and my alcohol, Jesus and my drugs, Jesus and my video games, Jesus and my whatever.
Right. That's right.
Jesus and my sports. A buddy of mine says, he sent me a link to an article on sports and how people worship sports and stuff like that. He's like, yeah, I figured that was your, you know, that would stroke your pet doctrine, right? Really? He's like, yeah, every sermon you hit sports. I'm like, well, you know, it's a problem in our day.
Sure is.
People worship sports.
They do.
You know, they bow down at the altar of Jehovah. And soon as service is over, they're bowing down in front of the plasma or the LCD or whatever, you know. And
yes, sir.
My goodness, you know. So we can't be so hard on Balak, because we need to. And we need to be careful about that. So, you know, Balaam then, when he was there and the problem that he had then as they were courting him, trying to get him to come, is that, you know, he was like, okay, Lord, what is your will? And God said, this is my will, don't go. And Balaam said, oh, okay, Lord, but did you realize how good it's going to be for me if I do go?
Yeah.
Like, just want to make sure that you knew, even though you're all-knowing,
right,
and you knew that before I even asked. Yeah, but yet again, we do that too, don't we? Lord, I know this really shouldn't, but...
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so what happens to Balaam at the end of the story? He had these relationships.
That's right.
It's
true.
Yeah, because even though they didn't attack the Moabites, they did the Midianites.
Yes.
And
right.
Balaam was a Midianite.
That's right.
And he died.
Did.
So Balaam basically said to the Lord, Lord, I understand what you're doing, but I want my will.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so C.S. Lewis wrote, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, in the end, thy will be done. So who's going to say it? Lord? I'm going to say, Lord, thy will be done. Or is God going to have to say to you, fine, thy will be done. And that's kind of a scary thing, isn't it? We should all be really nervous when we start going, Lord, I want my will be done. And the reality of God actually saying to you, fine, have it your way. Do it your way. That should be a scary thing to anyone who is honest enough with himself to think, wow, yeah, I'm probably going to mess that up.
Sure, that's right.
Yeah. Balaam got the first straight-cut decision from God, don't do it. But he kept on fooling around till finally God told him to go do it.
Right.
You know, we have things in this message, you know, this message of the hour that we talked about that we all love and that we all have to have. Yeah, there's things in that message that sometimes we're like, oh, but Lord, that's so strict. That's so cut and dry. That's, I mean, you realize the day that we're living in, those things, that's just really harsh.
Right.
Surely, Lord.
Yeah, come on, brother.
I just want you to know that God knew that
before
he told the prophet to speak that. And so you can go to God and say, Lord, that's so, and he can say back to you, okay, fine. Thy will be done.
Right.
Yeah.
Preach, brother.
So we look for loopholes. You know, we can study the message sometimes. You know, paragraph C, subsection D of the spoken word of the original seed states this, and, you know, and we become these lawyers, and we just try to figure out instead of actually, Lord, which is the way it was from the beginning.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You know, is this divorce okay? Well, no, from the beginning it was not so.
Right.
And so it's that kind of principle that we need to understand as we go trying to make the message fit our little thing. You know, we need to go, wait, but from the beginning, is that the way God intended it to be?
Come on, brother.
Is that what the prophet is telling us is inconsistency with how God is nature?
Amen.
That's where we need to be. So we need to be careful, oh God. Say to us, go ahead. If you read Romans chapter 1, you'll see that. It says, God gave them up. So here's the deal then that, you know, we know that Lucifer wants our worship.
Amen.
Okay? Now, if he can't just say, hey, everybody, go worship Baal. Go worship Buddha. This message thing isn't right. Go worship Buddha. And everybody's going to go, yeah, whatever. Okay, so he's going to go, okay, that doesn't work for these people. Now it works for some people.
Sure does.
Because Buddha is happy.
Yeah.
He's a very happy little guy. And he obviously eats good. Must be a lot to offer there.
Right.
So people do that. But there are certain people that just doesn't work. So he's going to keep at it, right? He's going to keep trying to winnow it down. So, so he can't get the people to just turn away from God. So what does he do then? He needs to try somehow, and of course, the first thing they tried was, let's get God away from his people.
Right.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Unless he can get those people who are his people
right
to mix themselves up in such a way and to commit sins in such a way that he has no choice but by his law, he has to.
Yeah.
Turn away from that. And so therein lies the mixing.
Yes.
Therein lies the mixing. So what this doctrine of Balaam was, and what this feast of Baal Peor was, is that they invited the children of Israel to come, and you know what, okay, we're all one. We're not going to try to attack you, you're not going to try to attack us, but hey, we're all one. Come, have a feast with us. And you would think, though, that the children of Israel would be like, you're going to have a feast to a god, and we're going to come join you? And then that would be kind of weird. You would think, whoa. But don't forget that they were in Egypt before.
Yeah.
And they'd seen this kind of thing. So unfortunately, this kind of thing was all too common to them.
Yeah, amen.
And even though we think, wow, that's a big deal, why would you go do that? Even though, like you said, we do that ourselves, we go have feasts
with
idolaters all the time. Don't we?
Come on, brother.
Participate with the world and their little events and in all their little things. And and what begins to happen then is the same thing that happened at Baal Peor. And so, you know, what they decided then was that, okay, you know what? These Moabites, they're our cousins, really.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be mean to our cousins, and we shouldn't reject our cousins. We should be friendly to them because, to be honest, if they were more like us, it would be a good thing for them. If we could get them to, you know, come to Jehovah and reject Chemosh, everything would be much better now, wouldn't it? So I mean, there's no harm in being friendly, right? I mean, if you're going to evangelize to someone, you have to be friendly first. And there's no harm in being friendly. That never hurt anyone ever.
You guys realize at this point that, and I'm going to read a quote that says, no, that's not right. Okay, so now, in spite of the fact that Balaam knew the proper approach to God and could bring forth the revelation from the Lord, by means of a special endowment of power,
for he was still, for all of that, a bishop in the false group. Right. But what did he do in order to win favor with Balaam? He formulated a plan wherein God would be forced to deal with Israel in death. Just as Satan knew that he could beguile Eve and cause her to fall in fleshly sin, thus causing God to pass his pronounced sentence of death against sin, so Balaam knew that if he could get Israel to sin, God would have to deal with them in death. So he planned a way to get them over to come over and join in sin. He sent out invitations to come to the feast of Baal Peor. Come over and worship with us. Now Israel, no doubt, had seen the feast of the Egyptians. They didn't feel it was too wrong to just go and look, perhaps eat with the people. What is wrong with fellowship anyway? We are supposed to love them, aren't we? Or how can we win them? Being friendly never hurt anyone. Or so they thought.
Right.
Now, here's the problem, is that while they were being friendly, and while they were up there at this feast, suddenly things kind of took a little bit of a turn, like it always does in the world. Like any good program that you're watching, and then the commercial comes on.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but when those sexy Moabitish women begin to dance and undress while they whirled around doing their rock and roll and twist, the lust rose up in the Israelites, and they were drawn into adultery, and God in his wrath slew 42,000 of them.
Amen.
But here's the thing that we need to remember. Moab was a fundamentally right group,
sure.
Right?
Amen.
They were clean.
Amen.
They worshiped Jehovah. We're going to use our little analogy here now.
Amen.
They were like a cleaner because they worshiped the true God. They were clean.
Sure.
Right? I mean, they fundamentally, same thing. Had a, you know, not supposed to kill them. They were not the Amalekites.
Right.
This was the Moabites. God commanded the children of Israel, do not kill them.
That's right.
Okay? They had a link to God, so they had their own cleanliness. Okay? We, the bride, like the children of Israel, we're clean.
Yeah.
Very clean. We know that what happens to sin when we drop it in the bleach.
Right.
You know, you drop the egg in the bleach, it's gone. You know, and this is like us. So the bleach represents us. I found this little cup over there that I forgot to cut, but I was stealing everything from Little Genesis. So we've got our cleaners and our cup. And, you know, so, but I mean, when you take ammonia, a good cleaner, and you mix it with bleach, another good cleaner, you get super cleaner, right? I mean, it's just a wonderful thing. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to mix a little bit of ammonia, and we're going to mix a little bit of bleach, and we're going to have super cleaner, right? No, we're not. Yeah. You might have hydrochloric acid. You might have mustard gas. Depending on if you had too much ammonia and not enough bleach, you might get, I don't remember which combinations are which, but yeah, it might explode.
Yep.
Or we'll just all die from the toxic fumes.
Sure.
Not a good thing, right?
Come on, brother. That's good.
But wait. These people were clean. We're clean. Why can't we mix the two together?
Yeah, brother. That's good.
Clean. And even sometimes the good things that we think, oh, this is fine. There's nothing wrong with this. What is Lucifer trying to do? He can't get you without this message.
Come on, brother.
If you're that at that point, he can't get you to do that. But if he can get you to submit to the doctrine of Balaam,
yes.
What he's doing is this.
Yes.
And he's creating a bomb that's going to go off in your life.
Yes. Amen.
And it's going to be devastating.
Well.
Because you're going to be sitting there thinking, whoa, I'm a believer and a prophet. I follow a prophet. The problem is that because you mix up and you start to do this kind of thing, and you start going, well, we're going to be friendly. We're just going to evangelize a little bit. We're supposed to love them anyway. And how can we love them if we're never a part of them or the kinds of things that they're doing or around them?
Great.
And so we kind of join up a little bit. And then things spin out of control, and the Moabitish women begin to dance and undress. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, if they're dancing and undressing, then what else is going on at the same time? Oh, there's probably music.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we all know how powerful music can be.
Sure.
Brother Branham says, is there a sinner that has never accepted Jesus, and you know you're a sinner, you don't know him as your sinner? You say, Brother Branham, yes, I've had a lot of pleasure. I go to dances and parties and all those things. I've watched the wrong kind of shows. I've read the wrong kind of literature. I read those books that's got vulgar stories in it. I kind of enjoy reading it. Brother, it's something wrong with you. That's your appetite. Let me see what a man reads, what he watches, and listen to the music he listens at. The other day, coming along in a car, a certain person reached over, turned on my radio, some kind of old vulgar music. I said, turn that thing off. I don't want to hear that. Some old boogie-woogie stuff. He said, well, I like to hear that. I said, your nature's wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
How many of you all would like to be sitting in the car with Brother Branham? Okay. Your nature's wrong. You are wrong.
Yes.
Kill me now. You know, just, you know. Man.
Sure.
Why do we preachers harp on these things? Oh, listen to the right music. Don't listen to the wrong music. Be careful of this and get over it already, preacher. Why? Because we know that when the wrong kind of music starts to happen,
sure.
The Moabitish women begin to start dancing.
Yes.
The Moabitish women begin to start dancing. Oh, we decide, oh, you know, maybe we'll have a favorite beverage of choice. And, you know, then vision and thing, you know, our mind starts to get a little cloudy.
Right.
And maybe we're not going to make the right decisions anymore. And then the clothes are going to start coming off. And why? Because it started with a nice little gathering.
Yep.
Of people that were descendants of, you know, God's people.
Sure.
And it was supposed to be a clean little gathering with just other believers. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, this is the problem. So what do we find here then in chapter 25? Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab.
Right.
Wow. So we went from, there's no way that you could ever get me to not worship Jehovah. I won't give away this, to committing whoredoms.
Yes.
In between chapter 24 and chapter 25. Well, what happened between chapter 24 and 25? The doctrine of Balaam.
That's right.
Mixing.
Yes.
This happened.
Yes.
Right here. That's what happened between chapter 24 and 25. And so then we find that the people, you know, they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. The people did eat and bowed down to their gods. These children of Israel, what are they? That's craziness. Why? The doctrine of Balaam. And you can look at them and you can think they were just stupid. And you can try to say that, oh, they're different than me.
No.
I'm not like that.
Right.
And if you want to think that about yourself and delude yourself, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you it's not true.
Come on,
you're no different than these people. The doctrine of Balaam will try to get you to water down your message and mix it with other things so that it suits you just a little bit better in your particular tastes and in your particular what you'd like to do. And when you do that, you're going to create a bomb in your life.
Amen.
You're going to create toxic fumes to all that are around you. And then not only will it destroy your life and your home, but it will destroy those around you.
Wow.
How many of them died? 42,000. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Why? Because, we're going to have a little fellowship with some other believers, and it's going to be a little get-together, and, you know, might be a little music. Suddenly they're bowing down to another god. Said I had to take nearly the song through. He was listening to some music. He said he turned on the radio. He said there's a song, and I kept listening. He said I had to take nearly the song through before I could tell whether it was absolutely a religious song or the devil trying to bring down the things of God to the level of the world.
That's it. Great.
Have you heard some of the modern worship these days?
Sure.
We were laughing. I preached this down in Florida, as I said, and you know, their culture's a little different, and I understand cultures, you know, but I also understand that the message doesn't do away with our culture.
Right.
But it frees us from our culture.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
God.
And that's a distinction that must be made. I don't have any problem with your particular culture. You know, I asked the colored believers down there in Florida to not have a problem with me if I kind of sat in the back and was just a little bit more mellow than they were, because I just can't keep up with them. That's just the way it is. So, you know, if you don't anti-message and Christianize me because I'm, you know, a little bit more reserved than you, I won't do the same because you're, you know, having the great old time and bouncing everywhere. You know, even though I did, you know, but not like them, you know. But I would never ask them, look, your culture, you're just wrong because you don't do it my way in the nice, you know, amen. You know, I have a brother that teases me. He's like, what kind of music do you like? Like the doxology or something? Yeah. You know, because he thinks that, you know, I don't enjoy, you know, music that has a little more beat to it. No, it's not. No, I just, you know, I'm just more conservative.
Yeah.
I was born in Minnesota. This is culture. But I realize that the message frees me from that, to where I'm not bound by that culture,
right.
And that if everybody doesn't do the same way that people in the message in my culture do, now they're not wrong. I don't have to mix my culture into the message to try to get something.
Right.
What happens when you do that?
Amen. There you go.
Same thing. So, but anyway, we find that we were laughing there down in Florida because I was saying, look, we can't just have a song that just says, oh,
yeah,
for 5 minutes. Like, what, really, what are we saying? You know, and so, and these are the things I'm thinking on, and I kid you not, the first service, the song leader gets up there, and he starts going, okay, everybody, follow after me, and he's like, oh, and he points the mic, and they're all supposed to go, oh, and I'm like, okay, this is fine, you know, this is fine, you know, and then they turned on the projector, you know, so they could see the words, and it had, oh. And at that point, I lost it. I'm like, just quit, you know, quit now, you know. And so I preached it to him, you know. I was like, look, you know, okay, I understand. You are the way you are. I am the way I am. I'm not asking you to be separate from your culture. I'm not asking you to stop saying the same word over and over and over again because, hey, that's what they do in Africa. That's how they worship, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But realize that, look, we, like Brother Brown says, we don't want to take let the devil bring down the things of God to the level of the world and then call it a worship song and sing it in our church.
Amen.
For all we're doing for 5 minutes is saying the word, oh, and everybody's going, oh, what?
Yeah. Preach.
And Brother Jack said, oh, Brother Trevor, it's an expression, you know, oh, that I would worship the Lord. I said, yeah, oh, that you would, brother. You know, the problem is if we leave, oh, there, it's like, oh, how I love Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, let's put something that has meat in it there, because we're drawn from the breast. We're weaned from the milk.
Yeah.
And precept must be upon precept and line upon line. Yeah. And we have so much of the Word of God to sit there and say, oh, for 5 minutes does nothing for anybody. And it might make you feel good, and oh, this is, yeah, we're having a good time in church. I have no problem with having a great time in church. We had a wonderful time in those meetings. But look, we don't want to bring things down.
Yes, amen.
We want, man, when we want to worship, we want to sing about how great our God is. We want to understand that He died for my sins. Nobody wants to sing about the blood anymore. We just want to tell God how holy He is. I love to tell God how holy He is. I love to think about how holy He is. My problem is that people stop. Okay, think about how holy you are. What does that mean about me? Does anybody think about that kind of thing? No. We don't anymore. But we can just have whatever music we want because this is a modern age and it's a modern day. And besides, you know, that's good, clean music.
There, brother.
No problem. To mix those two together. Yeah, it is. So we'll move on from there anyway. My. The devil's trying to bring down the high things of God so they can mix them down here.
Yes.
The people won't look up above this. They just look here and say, why? It's all the same. It isn't the same. Get out of the land. Now, I have something. Yes. Now, one thing that we see then there at the Feast of Baal Peor is that the music started playing, and what ended up happening? He said these sexy Moabitish women began to undress.
Sure.
Well, it was their fashions, wasn't it? I mean, that's what happens. We have fashion, and nowadays they pay a bit more attention to it than nothing in the world. You have to sit in my office sometime and see men bring in their wives, where they try to get right with God and confess of all the men they lived with and everything else since they've been married. Oh, you say, no, that's Pentecostals. The others won't come. He says, I'm speaking of how it can get away. When you get to mixing up with the world, the church, and all the fashions and things that we have. Now, I just read to you two paragraphs that were connected right together. And what did he say? Men and women coming into my office, trying to get right because of all the others that they've lived with out of their marriage vow. And he says, and then he says, I'm speaking of how it can get away when you get to mixing with the world, the church, and all the fashions and things that we have. Amen. So what are connecting together? Adultery and fashion.
Yeah.
If you didn't make that connection, I'm going to try to help you make this. He's saying adultery and what? It gets away. Mixing with the world in fashion.
Amen.
We need to make sure that in our fashions that we're honoring God.
Amen.
When we put on clothes and we do our hair and we do everything, is it to impress someone else or is it to say, Lord, I'm clean before you?
Yes.
I mean, the Lord spent chapters talking about how the high priest should dress.
Right?
And how clean he ought to be. And we are supposed to be priests and kings before him, right?
Amen.
So if we have a few chapters in how we ought to dress, maybe we should heed that because God is clean.
Amen.
And he wants us to dress before him, not before others.
Amen. Right.
And so our dress shouldn't be to attract the brothers and sisters. Our dress should be to attract God.
Amen.
And then maybe we would have less adultery problems.
Sure. Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
So, mixing in our marriage, in our dating. This boy's mother had died, Sarah, and the father was getting old, and there was a time when Abraham had to make a decision what class of people that his son would marry into. I think that's a good policy for the sons of Abraham to do the same thing. A class? Yeah, Abraham said we were a special class of people.
Wow.
Why? Because we were ones that have a revelation of a prophet. If you haven't read the Church Age book lately, you really need to read that. I read the Church Age book and went, wow, that's why I believe that. Now I understand.
Oh, right.
I've heard, but now I see. I get it now. Okay. So you should read that. That's what I just quoted out of. We're a special class of people. And the reason we're a special class of people is because we're people that has prophetic insight. Prophetic insight, you see.
Right.
So when we go to start thinking what kind of class should our sons and daughters marry into, we want to make sure they're in the same class that we're in. And it's not a class of, you know, they're this and we're that. But no, we want them the one that has prophetic insight. Because otherwise, yes.
Right.
Little Baptist boy, he's a good guy.
Sure, brother. Hit it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Dresses neat. He might see messy someday. We call that missionary dating. Really bad idea. Really bad idea. Yeah. Watch what class sons and daughters would be marrying into. He said, what happened? The sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair. It was a perversion. It was a sex mix-up. It was the thing that drove the children from the Garden of Eden. The thing that drove God's judgment to bring peace upon the earth.
Right.
It was the thing that caused him to destroy it. Yeah. It was that same mixing up between women and men that caused Sodom and Gomorrah to sink in the bottom of the Dead Sea. It was told by the prophets. It was told by the Lord Jesus that as it was in those days, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen. Amen.
So one of the things that's trying to destroy this earth today is the same thing that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
It's the same thing that happened in the days of Lot.
That's right, brother.
The mixing up that should not be happening.
Yes, sir.
We want to keep it pure, and this tells us how.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
To do anything is to create a bomb or toxic gas in your life. Amen?
Hallelujah.
So we need to be so careful on these things. You know, so what happened then is, as we can continue on in chapter 25, and behold, one of the children of Israel came. Well, praise the Lord, we didn't need that anymore. Oh, okay. It's like, wait a minute, I did hear the speaker still. Like, how did the power go out? And behold, I was going to keep preaching.
That's
and
right.
Behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto the brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So here you have the elders and Eleazar the priest. They're before the tabernacle. They're weeping for what's going on. And then some brazen idiot comes along, and he says, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. He rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. So we need to understand here that this is what's happening, is that this feast comes on, and then these people start getting together, and all of a sudden this guy he's already so far away that he doesn't even understand how bad it is what he's doing. He's got a Midianite woman on his arm, and he's coming into the camp, and he sees Eleazar the priest. He's like, pretty girl. And he walks into his tent.
Right.
And Eleazar couldn't stand it anymore. He takes a javelin in his hands, and he goes and he smites the thing through.
Right.
So brothers and sisters, when your pastor begins to speak against the things of the world going on in our lives, when a minister comes through and he begins to speak against things going on in our life, and you don't really like it, just understand that he's trying to, by his javelin of the Word of God, take that thing and smite it down to a place where it stays the plague.
Amen.
Because we don't want the plague to continue to repeat in the churches. We want, and look, if we're here, it's because we want to be with Jesus in the millennium, as we talked last night. So if we're going to do that, and then not like the priest coming and slaying the thing and staying a plague, we've got a problem.
That's right.
What he's trying to do is we don't want any more of this going on.
Amen. That's right.
Amen? Because we know that this is what we have need of. The word for our day.
Amen.
Because that's what saves us from the flood.
Amen.
Amen. It's not the word of some other day, but it's the word of our day.
Amen.
And it's pure and it's straight and it's to the point because it's what we need today.
Yes.
Because the world is trying to creep in and come around us and try to get into us, and Satan wants our worship. He's not content with the millions he already has. He wants your worship. He wants your worship. He wants your worship. He wants your worship. He wants everybody in this room's worship. He is not content with what he's got. He's going to continue his plan. And so the way he's going to do that is to get you to mix things up.
Amen.
And if you mix things up, it causes death.
Yes, sir.
It's going to cause God to have to bring judgment to your life.
Amen.
So we find, Brother Branham says, when we have the wrong marriages, what begins to happen?
Right.
And today, so young people, take note.
Sure.
Think about who you're going to marry. Let's just stop. Look, if you were going to marry somebody, and you think, okay, I know they don't say that these days, you know, just get married and have a good time, but a lot of times marriage produces children.
Sure.
And that's a good thing. We want that.
Come on, brother.
So one of their gifts from the Lord.
Sure.
But we need to think about that. Okay, if I'm going to get married and I'm going to have children, how do I want, you should probably plan this out just a little bit. Don't just stay here and go, oh, it's a wonderful day today. But think, okay, a little bit of thinking. Okay, if I'm going to get married in 2 years, there's a good possibility that there might be children.
Sure.
And if there's children, you know, a lot of us, the sad truth of it is we're okay if we don't serve the Lord, but if we want our children to. Because we know it's right, and we think, oh, but I just can't live it, but I sure want my kids to.
Yeah.
You know, sure wouldn't want any kids of mine going to hell. I think it's probably going to happen for me, but I don't want them to, you know. And we just, I mean, it's just crazy. That's crazy thinking. But people do this. People really do this. But you need to think, okay, so just, even if we allowed that for a moment, for the sake of argument, that, okay, you don't think you're going, but you don't want your children to go to hell. Okay, so by that, okay, then what kind of home and what kind of atmosphere are your children going to have to be in order to make it?
Come on, brother.
Right? So Brother Branham says, third Exodus, he says, today he's done the same thing, the devil here now, under the sign of a spirit now, religious, professing Christianity, taking our girls, marrying them to Catholic boys, and make them bring their children Catholic, what? To break the power of the other side.
Come on, brother.
There is your demon. There is your devil sitting on seven hills, wearing triple crowns, just as slick and cunning, smart, intellectual like the serpent.
That's
the
right.
Seed of the serpent, his children, using the same intellectual techniques. Then they kill the children. Now, he talks to you, this is the message, third Exodus. And so we know there were three Exoduses. There was one with Moses.
Yes.
There was one with Jesus. And there's going to be an Exodus of the
right.
church, coming, the bride coming out of the church today.
Amen.
Right? We're going to have a spiritual Exodus. And so in the first Exodus, what do you see? What does Pharaoh do? Kill the children.
Sure.
Start throwing those babies in the river. There's too many of them. Sure sign of an Exodus coming.
That's right.
Herod.
Yes.
In the time of Jesus.
Right.
There might be another king coming. Go kill every baby 2 years old and younger.
Right.
Sure sign there's an Exodus coming.
Amen.
And in our day,
yes,
Satan is trying to kill the children with spiritual death. How is he going to do that? He's going to do that in our homes by taking this and mixing it up with some kind of Pentecostal, some kind of Baptist, because it's the same system as the Catholic one.
Right.
Some kind of something from the other side. If he can't get you to mix with worldliness, he'll get you to mix with, oh, yeah, she likes the good Christian. He or she likes the good, you know. Oh, yeah, it's okay. They love Jesus, and they, you know, at least there's that.
Right.
Killing their children.
Right.
Amen. Right?
Right.
This last time, he's getting the children and kill them with spiritual death, marrying, intermarrying. You see why I'm hitting this today? You see why I have a javelin in my hand and I want to just beat this to a pulp? Because it's so important.
Amen.
For our children are going to suffer that spiritual death. My.
Amen.
So, now when the church becomes hybridized, will it produce? The life or seed that brings Christians to birth, is not in them. Like brings forth life. Baptists bring forth Baptists. They act like Baptists. Methodists bring forth Methodists. They act like Methodists. No one is known by the power of God, nor can they be, for it's not there.
Right.
They are known by their ceremonial worship of God and their creeds and doctrines.
Right.
That ought to never have
AIDS
in our lives.
That's right.
Just kind of some ceremony, and this is what we do because this is who we are. No,
come
if you
on.
Don't have the life and joy of Jesus Christ in your life, if you're not sitting here reading these books and listening to these tapes, which I hope that you're doing in your own homes, because this is just life to us.
Yeah.
This is telling us how to get in the ark, and we got to go for it.
Hallelujah.
And if the life and joy of that isn't in your heart, then what have you got?
Yeah.
What have you got? Just a ceremony? Just a creed?
Yeah,
this is what we do because this is who we are. Oh, it's a life.
Amen.
Amen? My. It was the unpardonable sin 3 times in the Bible for any persons to add one word of their own interpretation to God's word after it had been vindicated the truth.
That's right.
When Balaam added the word that we're all the same, God never did forgive Israel that.
Amen.
Every one of them perished in the wilderness.
That's
except
right.
for the three that God brought out.
Amen.
So we don't want to allow anything to mix. No culture, no denomination, no Nicolaitanism, no
Amen,
nothing.
Brother.
He gave it to us in a pure form for our day.
Amen.
And all we need to do is say, Lord, I want to see this the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
Show me, Lord.
Yes.
Show me, Lord. My. Let's see here. I want to bring this to a close here. Going on. Let's look in chapter 31. The story continues and finishes up. Balaam is dead. He and the father of the Midianitish woman that Zimri brings into the camp, they both die.
Right.
That's how the story ends. Brother Man says, murmuring, lusting, mixing the world with religion, going out. He says, God must be pure. Real pure. We just want to stay. Pure word of God.
Right.
Amen. You know, many a times we want revival.
Well,
we cry for it. Well, how can we get revival? How can we have this kind of thing in our life? He says, yet we cry for a revival when Jesus comes.
Yes.
And when he does come, treat him about like they did them.
Yes.
Want to say, oh, you guys don't talk about Jesus anymore, all you do is talk about Buck Branham. We all know that.
That's right.
But yet, sometimes those things can creep in. Oh, you know, maybe our church should talk about the cross a little bit more. Hey, man, we probably should talk about the cross more in message. But, you know, I agree, but to depart from this, to do that? There's no need to do that.
No.
To diminish this in any way?
Something in that's no longer pure, but it's no longer pure.
That's right.
Because God is pure.
Amen. Amen.
So, let's pray and stand with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just humbled by your word. We're in awe of you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you bring these things to our lives and that we would just be able to just kind of chew on this for a while, Lord. That it would bring life to us, that it would bring, Lord, just that it would be just vitamins to give us strength, Lord, to this journey. May we see you in the full reality of your word, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we love you. We worship you and praise you. Let these things just sink so deep into our hearts, Lord. May we never stray from your word, and may we be convinced never to allow anything to be mixed with you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the baptism today, Lord. We praise your name,
Lord.
Lord, we ask that you will fill this brother with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father.
We love you, Lord, and the birthday party to come, Lord. May we have good fellowship, and we just thank you for all your blessings to us, Lord. We're so very blessed by you. We're so thankful for your grace, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Things said today. I mean, say it's the truth.
Amen.
Amen. If there's a doubt in your heart, in your mind, for what was said today, I hope you've heard from God that there's not two chances at this. There's not two ways. There's not a way in a pretty good way that'll get you there. No, the blood was the one way, and we've been restored back to what that way was. We can go right on down the line, the Catholic, the Baptist, really anything besides Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you won't make it. Because some man's trying to tell you how to get to heaven. And no man knows the way. But there was one that came down and said, I am the way. And then there was a man sent in this day that says, the Son of Man stands here now, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're here as witnesses today. He stands here now. It's the same God here amongst us. And I can't help but believe that too many of us, too many times, we take these things too lightly. Well, it's Brother Branham said that. Was it Brother Branham that said that, or was it God saying that? You might have come today and said, that's just Brother Trevor saying that. Was it Brother Trevor saying that, or was it God saying that? Shirley back there was sharing with me how before the service we prayed for her, and she had some hip and back and something of that sort. She said, I've been well, I'm not letting the devil bring it back to me. She's even dealt with some sugar going up and down, things of that sort. And she said, the devil, he just keeps trying to give it to me. Said I was taking pills and it was at this number and I was just done with it. And I said, I'm not. God doesn't do a halfway job. He does a whole job. She didn't take her medicine. It's lower than it was when she was taking it. So, what? taking medicine's fine, but if it ain't working, it ain't working. But I know a great physician that does know how to do things right. He knows when you're supposed to take medicine. He can give it to you. That's wonderful. He knows when you're supposed to go to the doctor and him tell you this. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. God works. So I asked you, church, this morning. We don't believe in just having services and packing up and going home. God is here to do exceedingly abundantly more than anything you could ask or think, and not by his power, as we preached before, not the power out in the clouds somewhere, the power that resides in you, the believer. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive so much power, you can't even comprehend what God can do through you. Say, what am I waiting on? I'm waiting on him to go ahead and do as he pleases today. Maybe it's you, because I don't believe in leaving service with doubt. I don't believe in leaving a service with sickness or shame or any of that. The blood of Christ has come. We should be free today, Christian friends. If the message today scared you, chances are your heart's not right with him. And I'm not even going to say chances. Your heart's not right. Because the only way you're going to make it is to know that you're perfect in Christ. That it's not you and I. We're not looking for us to be able to be good enough. He was good enough for me. And I've accepted him, and he's changed me, and he's making me into his image. As we bow our heads once, I just want to give an opportunity, each person, reverence the presence of God, I pray. Let's bow our heads together. And I want to give you an opportunity, friend. I don't know the hearts of everyone in here, but I know that he does. So I ask you, is there anyone here that would say, Brother Andrew, I don't know the Lord. I want him to save my heart. I want him to fill me with his spirit. I always give the opportunity. You might have been serving for, or thinking you were for 10, 20 years. That doesn't matter. If there's a doubt anywhere, raise it to him now and watch. He'll take it away from you. You're not raising it to me, church. You're raising it to the Creator. Hallelujah. God bless each one. He sees you. You that are Christians, and I believe those even raising hand are Christians. I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying you serve the Lord. You know you're doing all with your heart. You're saying, God, today, can I just have a fresh experience with you? I've been living in the dumps. I've been living underprivileged. I go to worship you, Lord, and I only do it with half my heart. I go to pray, and I'm only half concentrating, and I'm so tired of letting the devil get in my life and ruin my joy and trying to mix this stuff into my life that I know is going to... I don't want nothing to do with it no more, Lord. I want you pure, holy, clean, nothing of this life. Would there be anybody to raise that and say, Lord, oh, today may it flee from my heart. Oh, God bless you, saints. God bless each one. Do you have a need today? Jesus Christ will heal you today if you're sick, if you need saved, if you need joy, you need peace. Raise it to him. How do I do it, Brother Andrew? Believe that what you say, when you ask, he will give it to you. And you'll have whatever you ask. And I'm glad that the prophet came and told us how it's possible. Is when you say the word, it's the same as him saying it. It's the same as deity speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to sing that song. If you do want to come forward for prayer, that's fine. If you just want to stay there and worship, you can worship any way your heart desires. The only thing I admonish you is make sure you worship. We don't have song services here, church. You might think it's a song service. We have worship services. We don't just have preaching services. We have worship services. We came here to worship God. And if you're going to go to heaven, you better like worshiping God, because that's all we're going to do there. We don't do other things. We worship the Lord. Well, let's sing that with all our hearts. Give him praise. Again, if you need prayer, you can come forward. Oh, we believe. Oh. Oh.
now and say, Lord, I believe.
And Lord, I believe.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord,
surrender yourself now. Don't hold back from God. Worship Him.
Lord,
sing it from your heart. Yes, Lord, I believe you, Father.
Lord, I believe
all things are possible.
All things are possible.
Oh, believe that now. He stands in your midst, church. He's not 2 feet from anyone that's here right now. Lord, I receive.
And Lord, I receive.
Say it now.
Soul to come down that he might use to receive glory out of. Hallelujah, Lord. Look, we've got to get back into being the sons of God. We're not going to water down the word. The same thing he said 50, 60 years ago is the same today, church. You are that bride without spot or wrinkle. And he said that bride was covered in gifts. It was covered in power. It was covered in a demonstration of his spirit. Hallelujah. Don't be in a hurry now. You're in the presence of the King of Kings. What would you say to him if you really knew that Jesus Christ stands right in front of you? What would you tell him? Well, then you go ahead and do that because that's the truth right now. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about lunch. Don't worry about anything else. You're in the presence of the King. What does he mean to you? What do you got to tell him? Do you appreciate him? Why don't you go ahead and tell him? Do you love him with all your heart? Why don't you go ahead and tell him? And not just some halfway thing, just with all your heart. Just express yourself to him, church. Hallelujah. I don't believe in going crazy and jumping all over the place, but I'll tell you right now, if you're bound, you express love to God, you will not be bound any longer. But you can't do it halfway. You've got to give him everything. You've got to surrender all your thought, all your mind, all your words, all your desire to him. Hallelujah. You get serious with him, he'll be serious with you. I've never seen him fail. Praise his glorious name. If you don't feel the anointing of God here, you are spiritually blind and deaf and dumb. God is here to do exceedingly and abundantly more than anything you could ask or think. What holds you back, church? You are not bound in the name of Jesus Christ. You are free today. Speak the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus, tell us.
Grant it, Lord God. Grant it, Lord God.
Grant it, Lord God. Jesus.
Yeah, Christian friend. Don't deceive yourself. You heard God. You might not understand everything, but you heard Him. You know your own heart. Nobody else has got to tell you that. The war's not done just yet. Church. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Yield yourself. The Holy Spirit to see your own heart the right way. You have to yield yourself to Him for Him to come show you if there's any blackness. Every man's right in his own eyes, but there's a way that seems right and it leads to hell. Pray now. If you ever did believe, you need to believe now. For you to turn down the living word for your day is to turn Christ down. Don't do it, friend. Don't do it today. Don't cross that bridge that you can't come back on. Some death going on, and that's good as long as we die, that Christ might live in our hearts. Just lay it all down. Don't ever hold anything back from the Lord.
where he's got a better control of it than you do. Say, Lord, thy will be done. God, I'm here praying. I know it hurts, Father, but I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of condemnation in my heart. I'm tired of doubting who I am. Lord, let the sin be taken from me. Let my iniquities, Lord, may it be washed. Lord, for we turn our hearts away, for we repent, not just say we're sorry, but we repent, Lord. We have a new mind about it, that it's evil. We don't want anything to do with this world, whatever it is, Lord. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all that wickedness of the devil. You've already told us, Lord, that if we desire the things of the world, the love of the Father's not in us. Oh, God, may we not be in that condition, Lord. May we know that we've been sealed into a kingdom, that our desires are pure and holy before you. But Lord, we know we'll make mistakes and fault and fail, but Lord, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the life in our heart, who we really are. God, I pray that each person, Lord, would find themselves not on the side of darkness, but on light. That on the inner man, there's somebody who only loves Jesus, who only wants Jesus, Lord. And if that man is caged up in the name of Jesus Christ, may they go free today. Thank you for bringing your servant here to tell us the truth, that there's only one way, and that's by repentance, by turning away from our own selves, our own wickedness, Lord, and to follow after what you've shown us in the Word for this day. Grant it, Lord God. Grant it, Lord, to each one. I don't believe in begging and pleading. If you're not going to serve God, you're not going to serve Him. But I tell you, one day is your last day, and then there's no more chance. It's over. You don't have to worry about death. You don't have to worry about Armageddon. You don't have to worry about the world falling apart if you're in Jesus Christ. He will take you away from here before any of that comes. Oh, God. Oh, God. Wait, redeem the time, church. You redeem the time individually. You spend time with Him in His presence. Hallelujah. Christian, if you don't have any of that, if you've made it all clean, then it's time to praise Him and to worship Him with a pure conscience. Hallelujah. Pray for one another. Love one another. Say, God, let this body of Christ be free today. Satan has no power over us. Grant it, Lord God. Each heart be pure. Each heart be cleaned by the Spirit of God. Discern us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't let it be another service. Don't just let it be another altar call in your heart. Let this be the rock foundation of your life. And Satan will never take you off of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We just give you the preeminence, Lord. Have the preeminence in my life. In my life, send you in. Stay up there. Stay up there. Don't be afraid of a breakthrough. You go right into the Spirit of God. You're predestined to be in that heavenly place. Hallelujah. You worship Him in the Spirit. You worship Him in truth. Don't reserve your worship. Give Him it all. If that's you breaking down and crying, you get down and cry. If that's you shouting, you shout. Just don't just sit there. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't respect men. Respect God. Give Him the preeminence that's due His name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it right there. That's it. Just keep, that's it. Just keep doing it right there. Don't doubt it. See all that doubt that comes? It's gone. That's the Holy Spirit. He's still here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thus saith the Lord God unto my people. Canst thou not hear? Canst thou not see? Don't you have eyes, saith the Almighty, that time and time again I've warned you. Will man make God beg? But you have made me to beg. For the love that I have for you, I do not desire for you to perish. Just repent, I say unto you. Turn your heart from your wickedness, and I will save you, saith the Lord. Yea, I will redeem you. I will bring you to that presence. I will take you out of this wicked age, and I will take you to a land that I have prepared before the foundation of the world. Must I say it again, saith the Almighty God? Must I always repeat myself? Come, come, I say. For this is the last time, saith the Almighty God. This is your last time. Last time I'm going to ask if there's anyone here who isn't right with God, this is your opportunity right now. You must redeem this moment now. I can't do it for you, but He can. Thank you, Jesus. Church, pray for one another, love one another. Thank you, Jesus. This is a great day in the kingdom of God today. Yes, Father. Yes.
Tired of the things that drag them down. Oh, the devil, Lord.
Yes, Lord God.
Just one, Lord, to surrender to you, Lord.
Devil, in the name of Jesus Christ.
So many, Lord, the devil has had such a battle.
Oh God, Lord.
Lord, today you.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord, show your power.
You showed
prove
your destination, Lord God. This young brother would come forward, Lord, despite the devil's attempts. And then he comes forward just wanting you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would just show him, Lord, reveal your ways.
Grant it, Lord, in everything.
Lord, may he see, Lord, to just
walk in the light of
throw
the Lord.
Everything that's him down at the foot of the cross.
Yes, Jesus.
To annihilate his pride, his self-will, his everything, his plans,
oh,
Lord, that he
Lord
might
God,
submit it all completely to you,
Lord, will be done.
That he could pick up your plan, that he could pick up your ambition, that he could pick up your life, that he could pick up your, Lord, your cleanliness,
Lord Jesus,
that he might have your faith, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Touch my brother, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Fill him with your Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes, Father God,
Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord.
We give you praise and we give you thanks.
Oh, we praise you, Father.
Lord, because we know that our eyes have clouded over.
Yes,
but yet, by your grace, you've come and you've showed our brother.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Where he's been wrong, Lord. It's your grace and mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you've responded to that, Lord Jesus. Lord, none of us are. We all did in time, Lord. But, Lord, you're so good.
Oh, thank you, Lord, Father.
Our Lord just comes and he says, it's wrong, Lord. Lord, we know that you're forgiven, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the
Lord. May you, Lord, reveal it to us, Lord Jesus. Your grace, your blood, and how cleansing it is, Lord. Lord, and you know he's redeemed.
Yes, Lord God, grant him our brother.
Give him a fresh vision, a fresh revelation.
Yes, Lord God.
Lord, may it not just be another time that he can come and say, I'm sorry, Lord. But Lord, may some anger in him come to you today. Lord, that he may never do it again. Lord, the devil will always be there trying to pull him away. Lord, but he is now delivered.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Standing before you in the presence of Almighty God, appearing in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bless your name, O Lord.
Bless your holy name.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb. The holy is the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Yes, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yield yourself. Just stay in that presence. Praise his holy name. Worship him in spirit and truth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship him, praise him. Thank you, Lord. Raised in faith, church. Stay up in that realm. Stay up there.
Jesus, all Jesus, out eternity. Time again, the people of God should not be, this shouldn't be unusual.
It shouldn't be on you. This should be our makeup. This should be who we are. I challenge you, each believer that's here, do not let the devil take back what God just gave you. I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ. He will show up before you get out the door. But I adjure you by the word that greater is He that is in you than He that is in you. Hallelujah. How many can say you feel better? How many can say you've been delivered? How many can say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to prolong the time, but I could say that was time well spent. Thank you, blessed God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Jason if you want to go ahead and get changed and things and get ready. I know we can't fit too many spectators, but try to pile on in there here in a minute. If you want to stay and pray, that's fine. I don't want to. But I want you to do one thing for me. Believe that what God has said is true, that what you heard today is not a lie. It's the only thing that is real. All those other things that want to come that tell you you're still sick, that's a lie. That isn't real. The things that tell you Holy Ghost filled people that you ain't going to make the rapture, that ain't right. You already done made it. Hallelujah. And I believe we just had, the Bible said one repentant sinner said there's angels just having a good old time. Oh my, what about today? What about today? Oh God, let us believe it. Let us know that it's the truth. They're shouting for joy. They're shouting for joy. Why? Because it's the darkest of the dark, and yet light still shines. Because no matter what Satan does, he's already defeated. Hallelujah. I'm gonna try to hand the service over. The Holy Spirit's still here. I mean, I don't like telling him to go home. Lord, you stay just as long as you want. You do just what you want to do. I know we got a baptism, but the Holy Spirit can stay in here and stay in there and stay in there. And actually, He just needs to stay in our fellowship. He needs to stay when we leave here and go to our cars. And when you get up on Monday and get ready to go, the Holy Spirit will be there. Hallelujah. How many will believe that today? Amen. What's, Dad, you got a song? But again, if you want to stay in praise and worship things, you go ahead. God bless you. The glassy sea. I want to join our loved ones. God bless you.